message this morning is all things are possible. And I'm going to start with a couple verses that I've been reading the past few weeks. And the first one is Matthew 19:26. And I have a lot of scriptures this morning. And so if you can't keep up, just write down the reference and you can check it out later, okay? So the first one, Matthew 19:26, you know, and we talked about, you know, I read several scriptures the past few weeks about this phrase in it. And so I'm just going to pick a couple of them this morning. But it says in this one, in Matthew 19:26, it says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" Amen? And then Matthew 9:23, the first one we started out with all this, says, "Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.'" Now you look at Mark 11:23 and 24, you know, you get started on this believing stuff, and it's just full, the Bible's just full of it. Isn't that amazing? At Mark 11:23-24, you know, a lot of you know this verse, or these verses. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So we see here, you know, it's tied in. Now we see that, you know, with God all things are possible. It's all things are possible if we believe. And then it says, you know, it does not doubt in his heart, but believe. So we keep getting more information on, okay, how's this work, you know? Because, you know, if you've been in this church for very long, you know, you've tried it, it didn't work, you've tried it, it did work. You don't know why it worked, but sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work. And so you just go on and, you know, life just happens and we just go on and, you know, it would be nice if it worked, but it doesn't work most of the time. But anyhow, so this is what we're going to talk about this morning. I believe you're going to get some more information, some more illumination, so that we can all start walking this out more. So it does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says. And you notice here, it doesn't say that believes those things that God says. He says believes those things that he says. So it comes through us. Okay, so there's action. When you don't doubt in your heart, then you respond. You believe and you speak. It says believe that you receive them and you will have them. You know what? I heard this phrase recently on a CD I was listening to. You know, miracles are not for the deserving, but for the believing. Amen. Just because someone deserves a miracle doesn't mean they're going to get it. Amen. You know, God doesn't work that way. God designed the system, and everything is by faith. Everything from, you know, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of God, which there is no beginning, it was always by faith. And so that's what, we're going to talk some more about this. So it's not, you know, how much I need something or how much I want something. You know, we can go to God and say, you know, God, you see how sick I am. God, you see how bad I need this. But it's not about that. It's about faith. It's about believing, okay? No surprise to you guys. You know all this. I know. Okay. Believing is faith in action. Okay, you look up the word believing or believe, and it's a form of the same word that's of faith. I believe it's pretty sure it's a verb. Am I correct, dear? Did you messing with your ear thing? Yes. Okay. So it's, you know, we're talking about faith in action here. Okay. So we're gonna go and we're gonna look at the standard, the classic, the, you know, root of all faith scriptures, and which is where? Hebrews 11, verse 1. You should all have that one memorized, okay? So Hebrews 11:1, and we're going to read the first three verses, first in the New King James. But Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In New Living Translation, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." I really like that. You know, it's the confidence that what we hope for is actually going to happen. You know, a lot of times, you know, we hope it's, you know, we wish it's going to happen. You know, more than hope, more than Bible hope is we wish. You know, it would really be nice if this happened. But faith is the confidence that it's actually going to happen. And then in the Amplified Bible, Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Okay? The starting place of faith, if we're going to believe God for something, and faith is, you know, we're going to talk about, so, you know, faith is a very large topic, I guess you would say. But basically, faith is trusting God. And it's not, and it's trusting because God has done so much for us through Jesus Christ. And it's trusting Him that belongs to us and that's going to happen. That's the basis of it, or the simplicity of it, okay? But the starting place of faith, if you're going to believe anything, you know, if you're going to believe God for anything, then it's going to determine on what you believe about God. And if we believe God, you know, if we believe God is causes sickness, if we believe that God causes bad things, if we believe that God kills off babies or, you know, kills off young people because He needs another angel, or, you know, as punishment He does things to people or does, you know, causes things. You know, He brings hurricanes and tornadoes because, you know, people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. If we believe that kind of God, if we believe that about God, how in the world are we ever going to believe God for anything? Don't be surprised if you're not receiving anything from God, because we have to start from believing that God, with the very simplicity of believing that God is good and only good. There's nothing bad about God. There's nothing evil about God. There's nothing negative about God. You know, even, you know, in our background, you know, teaching that God allows things. You know what? The only one that allows things in your life is you. God has nothing to do with it. God says, this is what I want your life to be. Whether we see it or not is totally up to us. So, okay, you say, well, how do I know that God's good and only good? Well, I'm just going to, you know, give you some quickies here. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse? You look in Deuteronomy. The curse is a whole lot of negative things, right? Curse is all about poverty, sickness, and death. We have been redeemed from all of that. We never have to be sick. Jesus paid the price. We never have to be sick. Poverty does not belong to us. We don't have to live in poverty. Okay? There's a whole lot of other things I'm not going to. And then 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. God made a promise. It's for us, period. If I'm a child of God, it belongs to me. Okay? It's not about whether I deserve it. It's not about whether I'm worthy. I am qualified because Jesus paid the price. And that's one of the things that we have to get through to walk in faith, to live by faith, is to believe that. Okay? Another one, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Okay? The good stuff comes from God. John 10:10, you know, the thief cometh not for steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come, Jesus Christ has come, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that's, you know, that's just four scriptures. We could find more that says, God is good. God is always good. God always wants good in my life. God only adds and multiplies in my life. God never subtracts in my life. God never divides. He never takes things away in my life. It's only good. That's my God. So if we get that established, then we can step out and we can start believing and we can start walking in faith and expecting and experiencing answers, experiencing the promises of God in our life, okay? Okie doke. Okay, so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to look at some of these words. And I know that, you know, as many times as you heard Wayne teach, you've heard this, you know, a lot of it over and over again, but I just want to speak about it again. As I said, if you don't need it, I'm preaching to myself this morning, okay? So I'll go back to Hebrews 11:1, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? So we're going to look at some of these words and look at the definition of them. And try to get a hold of it. Try to get more of a grasp in our life, because as we grasp it, as we begin to experience it and understand it, then, you know, we're going to start experiencing the things that we're believing for, the things we're praying for on a more regular basis, okay? So that first word, substance. And what the, if you go back, the definition of this is tied into, and we read this in the Amplified Version, it's talking about a land purchase transaction or a deed. You know, the Amplified, I think it says the title deed. So in other words, it's proof of ownership. Faith is the proof of ownership. What do we own? We own anything Jesus paid the price for. If you want to know what you can have, you know, look, what did Jesus pay the price for? What does God say is available to us? You know, go back to the Garden of Eden. That's how it all started out. What was life like in the Garden of Eden? If it happened in the Garden of Eden, it's available before sin. It's available to us. Whatever Jesus paid the price for, it's available to us. You know, if you look at what God did, the miracles in the Old Testament, it's available to us. You know, once again, if we need to walk across if we need the water split so we can go across on dry land, well, it can happen. You know, you hear about people being transported, from one place to the other. In the days that we live, I've heard about ministers being transported, just like it was in the Bible. You know, all sorts of things that we think, oh, it's just in the Bible, it's just in the Bible. It belongs to us today. If you need your food multiplied, it belongs to you today. Praise God. We got to start thinking differently than what we have been. Life doesn't happen to us. We are supposed to experience the life of God, not just, whatever happens to come along. Okay? Okay, praise God. Okay, so as I said, proof of ownership. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word things means it's not a car, it's not a house, it's not, that kind of a thing. What that word things actually means is as that which has been done, which is an accomplished fact. So what are we seeing here? Faith is the title deed to what already has been accomplished. It's already been accomplished. It belongs to me because Jesus paid the price for it. Health belongs to me because Jesus paid the price for it. He gave it to me. Do I deserve it? No. There's days, most every day we all screw up at some way. What does it tell us in either 1st or 2nd John? It says, you can't, don't say you don't have sin. You all have sin. We all sin. We all sin on a daily basis. It should be so it's like, quote, smaller sins than it used to be. But we're because we're not perfect, we're on a journey. But even in spite of that, we are still qualified because why are we qualified? What is it about us that makes us qualified, Thursday night group? No. Thursday night group? Righteousness. We are righteous before God. We are qualified. God has made through Jesus Christ has made us righteous. That's what gives us the right to have this life. Amen. And if you're born again, you are righteous. Whether you feel like you're righteous or not, no matter what you feel like, no matter what you do, what you think, whether your life is more sin than it is more saint, you're still righteous. But as we experience and walk in righteousness, we're going to experience more of the life that God says belongs to us. What has already been accomplished for us, through Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. Okay, where am I at here? Okay, went through that. Okay, faith is not about the future, but about an accomplished fact. You cannot believe God for something that has not already been accomplished. Think about that. Because we look at, bringing things into, reality. It's, I don't know if that's a good way of saying it or not. But faith is about, we can receive what's already been accomplished. We can't receive anything that has not been accomplished through Jesus Christ. Now, the thing is, I don't think we understand everything that has been accomplished. So we have limited ourselves. I was thinking about this. You think that you need a creative miracle. I was thinking about somebody, they don't have an arm, and we've said, well, they need a creative miracle. God needs to create. God is the creator. But I haven't studied this out, so this is just my opinion at this point, and Wayne can talk me out of this afterwards. But I don't know if God's ever going to create anything again, because he did it in the beginning. He created it all. If you start studying quantum physics and you start understanding, the subatomic world and energy flow and the polarities and how everything comes from all this, everything that needs to be is already here. As I was saying, if you need an arm and you're believing for a creative miracle, all you have to do is it's there. That arm is there. It's just not visible. But it's there. So you just have to, that's what faith is. Bringing from the invisible into the visible. Everything, it's already here. Everything that we could ever, it's already here. We just need to, that's what faith is. Bringing it from the invisible to the visible. You know, there's no, nothing, you know, God did not create the world from nothing. God created, it's there. It's all, whether, you know, whether you want to call it the spirit realm or the quantum physics realm or whatever, everything is already there. So that's what we're after, not getting something from the future, not getting something, you know, make, you know, reality. If you understand, I believe you understand where I'm coming from, but it's already there. What has God accomplished? What has Jesus accomplished? It's just getting it and bringing it to us where we are, okay? Another word here, we have things hoped for. This word hope, you heard Wayne has taught multiple messages on this one, joyful, confident expectation. You know, it's not just, oh, I really wish this would happen. No, joyful, confident expectation. I've heard another definition. I've heard a sure thing that's not yet come to pass. Hope says it's going to happen. It's not in the visible realm yet, but it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. Faith, when I'm in faith knows it's going to happen. It's not, it sure would be nice, you know. Please, God, please, God, please, God. No, it's now. It's going to happen. It's just not visible in my life yet. Okay, so faith is a thing, the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence, and this is what, I was listening to something recently, and this gave me some revelation, because I'm looking at it from a different perspective, right? Evidence. God does not ask you to believe anything that you don't have evidence for. So if there's anything you need in your life, there's evidence for it. You may not see it, you may not know where to look for it, but there's evidence, okay? Enough evidence causes us to believe something, okay? How do we know that? Because say that you're sick. How do you know that you're sick? Because you have evidence, yeah. You hurt. You have a fever. You know, the doctor has told you you're sick. You know, you're having pain. You know, you can't do something that you used to be able to do. There's evidence. But see, that's our problem, is most of our lives are about the evidence that we pick up with our natural senses, with what we can see, with what we can hear, with what we can taste, with what we can smell, with what we can feel. That's what our lives are lived by. So we're living by faith. It's just our faith is in the wrong thing. Because we're believing everything that we can see, everything that we experience. That's what we live our lives by. It's that, Jesus paid the price. I don't have to be sick because Jesus paid the price for sickness. Yeah, I know that. But my focus is on all of the natural. So to live in faith, to experience what God has made available to us and what Jesus has paid the price for, we have to find some different evidence. You know, and it's the evidence is always there. It's just, like I said, we need to look for it. You know, I won't take a poll, but there's probably a lot of you here this morning, at some point in your life, you figured God was not there. You figured, you know, you were all alone and God didn't care about you and God was, you know, on the other side of the universe. It's because we're looking in the wrong place for evidence. No, if we look in the right place, if we, you know, that it's, a lot of times you don't, it's one of the things with, you may have an experience as a child and you were calling out to God for something and you felt like he wasn't there. But the thing is, you know, we're looking one place, but God is behind us. God is to the side. God's always there. We're just not looking in the right place. And that's the thing with evidence, that we have evidence. We have evidence for healing, for peace, for everything, prosperity, everything that we need in this life, wisdom, you know, whatever it may be. We have evidence. We just have to find it, and we just have to get our heart focused on the right evidence. Because that's what it is, you know, in our heart, we're believing the wrong evidence. And that's why it says, don't doubt in your heart. That's when it's, you know, that's when you're going to receive. That's where it comes down to. It's what's inside. Because if I've said this before, and I'll say it again, we live what we believe. So whatever is happening in our life, that's what we believe. And we may say, no, I believe, you know, if sickness is in our life, We believe sickness more than we believe that Jesus paid the price for healing. It's not judgment. I mean, it's not condemnation. You know, if we have any kind of lack in our life, why? Because we believe the lack more than we believe. And you come, I'm in the Word twice a day, every day. You know, you guys, you're in the Word. You know, you come to service, you hear message after message after message. But the evidence, we're still focused on the wrong evidence. We don't really believe that all things are possible. We don't believe it. Because when we believe it, then our actions will show it, and we'll start seeing what's in the invisible. We'll be coming into the visible. It's no judgment. It's just, that's why I'm preaching this again. Because we need to be reminded over and over and over again. Because you get up Monday morning and you hurt. And you focus more on the hurt than, but I hurt. Yeah, Jesus, I want to be healed, but I hurt. But in spite of my hurt, in spite of what's in the natural, we have to come to a point where, no, but you said, God, you said this. You said it. And everything is in me is screaming contrary to it. You know, yeah. But still, you said it, God. This is what's mine. And you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. You know, I can remember, how many years ago? What, we've been here 36 years? So probably 35 years ago. I used to be, when I was younger, I used to be prone to UTIs. And so I reached a point when, like I said, about 34 years ago, I remember that, we were at a point, we didn't have, well, that was before you had to have insurance, or most anybody didn't have insurance. And, the first couple years we were up here pastoring, and we didn't have the money to go to a doctor. And I knew what the symptoms of a UTI were, and if you've ever had a UTI, they're painful. And I can remember, sitting on the toilet, very graphic here, sitting on the toilet, and just, if you've ever had a UTI, the pain I'm talking about. But just saying over and over again, just through that pain, I am healed. Jesus paid the price. I am healed. I am healed. And just going over that. And with the UTI, you do this often because you visit the bathroom often. So anyhow, but every time, just speaking it and speaking it. And it took me 3 days. I remember it took 3 days before the symptoms went away. But I have never had a UTI again. But sometimes that's what it takes. In spite of the pain, whatever you can do. If you're in so much pain that you can't think of anything, you can meditate, you can think about, and if you're not in a lot of pain now, well, get in the Word and get a hold of the Scriptures so you have something. So if you get, you're in pain, that you have the Scriptures to speak. But sometimes it's just doing it through the pain. It's doing it through the, whatever, You get this, negative report, and maybe about a relationship thing, and maybe about a job thing, and maybe, it could be anything, but you get this slammed with this negative report. And you have a choice. Every time you have a choice. I remember when, years ago, Dylan was 5, 6, something like that, and I remember getting a phone call from Shell. And she said they'd been to the doctor, and Dylan had a bony growth on his shoulder, and the doctor thinks it's cancer. And it wasn't just the doctor thought it was cancer. The doctor thought it was one of those horrible, rare, there's no hope kind of cancers. And I can remember, we're not going there. And just telling her, we're not going there. We're not going there. We never discussed the concept, what was going to come. We never discussed it. We're not going there. And so she had, they were going to call the specialist, and the specialist was from out of town. He wasn't coming in for like 2 or 3 weeks. So we had like, 2 or 3 weeks, and it's just, we're not going there. We're just not going there. And when the specialist came from out of town, and he looked at Dylan, and he said, I forget what the thing's called. Osteochondroma, okay? So he basically said, a lot of doctors think this is cancer, but it's not. But we had that time. And that's how life is. You make that choice. You either open your mouth and dump everything that's the wrong evidence, or you keep your mouth shut, or you only speak, this is what God says. No, we're not going there. And that's one of the things, you know, you have to learn, you have to train your mind. I'm not going there. When you have an opportunity, maybe somebody you have been offended or hurt in some way, and you have the opportunity to play it over and over again and how what they did to you and how yeah. Or you have the opportunity to say, I'm not going there. And every time that incident comes up, no, I'm not going there. I am not going to think on that. I am not going to go in that direction. And one, you go down. The other, you go up. But that's life. It's not just, you know, life is never going to be, okay, when this happens and then this changes and everything, you know, then I'll start doing this. No, you start now or you don't start. Whether you're going through something tough now or everything's going pretty smooth now, now is the time to start. Now is the time to do what we're talking about here. And you do it for a couple days and then you forget. Well, as soon as you remember, get back at it. Gathering evidence. Gathering evidence of who you are. Gathering evidence that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Gathering evidence that God loves me no matter what. No matter how many times I screw up, God loves me just as I am. God forgives me. I am forgiven. Doesn't matter what I've done in the past. Doesn't matter what I ever do. I am forgiven. God loves me. I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am a child of the Most High God. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. I am full of life. I have peace. I have joy. The grace of God helps me to do what I can't do on my own. You're going to gather evidence one way or the other. Do you like your life like it is, or do you want your life to be better? It's an individual thing. No one can do it for you. I cannot pray for you and make it all better. I don't care who it is. They can't pray for you and fix this. There's things we can pray for, but this isn't one of them. This is you and God. Well, it's hard. Well, it's hard for everybody. But who are you going to turn to? You're going to turn to yourself and, I'm going to figure this out. Or are you going to turn to God? Of course. What do you think we have grace for because we can't do it? What do you think we have the Holy Spirit for because we can't do it? We fail all the time. But you know, we're still righteous. We're still overcomers. We are anointed. You know that power we just sang about? That's within us. 24/7, that power is in. Start thinking about, man, every time I think of and focus on that power, Whoa. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Where are you going to look for your evidence? It's your choice. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue in verse 4. Go back. Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. God, in the very beginning, it was by his word. You know, it's same thing is true for us today. God believed and he spoke. And the same thing is true for us today. We believe and we speak. You know, and you've heard, if you've been here, you know, any of you that have been here for a long time, you have heard multiple messages on how the importance of your words. And if I ask you, you could probably say, yes, your words are important. Yes. Proverbs says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yeah, words are pretty important. And you could say, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. But what comes out of your mouth when you get mad? What comes out of your mouth when things go wrong? Now, it doesn't mean that we're all perfect and we say everything right all the time. But what is your general? What comes out of your mouth? You can't say that you believe words are important if what comes out of your mouth is death all the time. Or maybe you enjoy death. You know, the first person we have to be honest with ourselves in this stuff. We can't say, yeah, I believe it, yeah, I believe it. If we're not living it, we don't believe it. And like I said, it's not a judgment. We're all at this at different places. We're all, you know, I have not arrived. Just ask Wayne. He'll tell you, I have not arrived. I have my good days and my bad days, just like the rest of you. But my heart is to keep moving in the right direction. My heart is to gather evidence in the right direction, because whatever happens in the future of America, and at this point it does not look good, if whatever happens, the thing that matters to each one of us is our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't get a hold of this, we think life is bad now. Well, if we're as close to the end of time as some teachers teach, we need to get a hold of this. It's not just for convenience. It's not just so I have a nicer house or a nicer car or, you know, that my life is wonderful. It's a life and death thing. It's a victory or defeat thing. It's bringing the lost into the kingdom thing. We need to start living what we've been saying. You know, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe. It's time to start believing it and actually, you know, living it. And that's the only way we're going to know when we're actually believing it is if we live it. You know, I praise God for that. You know, I said that I have not arrived at the progress I've made. A week or two ago, within 1 week, I had this pickup truck hit my car. And a few days later, we had that, you know, that unbelievable storm came through. And we got it in Galway. And it took down one very huge branch and a tree, multiple trees on the other side. But through both of those things, the thing that just amazed me is the total peace I had. It just, this guy hit me. I saw he was going to hit me. There was never any, generally the heart pounding thing. And after the fact, you had the shock hit you. And, all those things you go through with something like that. It was never there. It was just peace. He hit me without going into a lot of detail. But when he hit me, I figured, oh, man, he's taking out my headlight. But praise God, no airbags went off or anything. I get out of my car, and all I have is this little scratch on my bumper. Now, his club cab pickup, he had a dented bumper. There was liquid running all over, which first he thought was the radiator, but it was his washer fluid thing. His bumper was loose. The one end of his bumper was loose. And I just, And then the storm. There I am. I had got home to deal with the chickens. And, some of you have been to the house. And so we have these multiple portable sheds because we have very small spot and a lot of stuff. So we have stuff in these sheds. And I am there, and I know God had me home because I did a lot of speaking to those sheds. I was sending angels right and left because they were whoo, whoo. But if those sheds blow away, then all this equipment and all this stuff is exposed. And I look out and there's this huge branch, one of the pine trees out front, huge branch came down. And then I looked to the other side, and there's this, I know it's multiple trees, didn't know what all it was. And from the house, so I called Wayne, I said, what's the weather? Because at that point, my biggest concern was, it's one thing to stay home and that. It's another thing to be on the road. So I said to Wayne, check the weather. Tell me if it's safe for me to come back to church or whether I need to wait here. I didn't know if I could get out of the driveway or not, whatever. So anyhow, so finally went through and one way or the other. So I went out and left. And do you know, I didn't realize it until, a day or two later, but going out, if either one of those trees had gone either way, I would not have gone out of the driveway. Now, you know, for you that may think, well, that's no big deal. Well, with us, it's a big deal. We have one vehicle. That's the only vehicle Wayne can transfer at this point. Wayne was here, I was home. So if I can't get out of the driveway and get back here, it's not just like, oh, it would be an inconvenience. No, it would have been a big thing in our lives. But I'm looking and it's just amazing. And so the one on the other side was, tree came down. I mean, the whole thing, was the stump, whatever is it, the roots and everything just upended and took some more trees down. But they're on both sides of the driveway. And I was out there walking again yesterday, and The big branch that came down is it is the one with the woodpecker holes. So it's a branch that would have had to come down anyway. And the pine tree that was down at the other pine tree that came down, it was dead. So it would have come down one way or the other, but it came down the best way possible. And now it's down, and so it's easier for us to deal with than that's God. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, I didn't plan on going into all that detail. But anyhow, it's just amazing to me to see God. Did you want to come up? Huh?
I just feel like I have to testify to what she's talking about in case there's anybody that's sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, because I hope nobody is. But, you know, when Ed first let me know that he did not want to be married anymore, it was a shock. I mean, we weren't living some happy, idyllic kind of life, but I definitely was not expecting that. And the first, few weeks, I've never had a panic attack before, but honestly, it felt like just a constant, just weeks of panic attack. You know, I considered going to the doctor. I felt like, am I having a heart attack? Like, I don't. And if I didn't, a lot of this stuff was not established in me yet, but it was just starting to be. And if I didn't have at least a little bit of understanding, I can't even imagine how people get through this. But from the very beginning, just from day one, I was like, and this was the grace of God, but I was like, this is not going to become my identity. Whatever I have to do, I've seen too many people, women especially, go through divorce and end up so bitter and miserable and angry, and they never get over it. And so from day one, that was just in me. This is not gonna be who I am. And so to have an understanding of how she's been talking about training your mind. And so, like I'm saying, those first couple of weeks, it was like just a constant. This is where my mind is going. Nope. Nope. This is where my mind is. Nope. And I mean, it was constant. And it was, I mean, it's just hell. It's torture. It's like, but I knew that I couldn't go there, that I couldn't just allow my mind to keep going there, to go into the fear, to the anger, to the grief and what have you. And not that I was at, we're not talking about denial, but it's just understanding, no, this is not who I'm going to be. This is not where I'm going to go. This is not what my life is going to end up. Does that make sense? So it's just, it was like a training. And God knows I do not have it all together. And I still go through anger and sadness and fear because there's still so much uncertainty. But in just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it, it's you're training yourself and you know, and you catch yourself sooner and your mind starts going, nope, doesn't matter because my trust is in God. Because I know what he said about me. I know that who he says I am. And I know that he's got a hope and a future for me and it's all good. So I'm not going there. I hope that you're here. My goodness, there's a strong anointing up here. it's those little decisions. It's just catching yourself and just, nope, not who I am. We're not going there. And it gets easier and you catch it sooner and you get to the point where you don't even find yourself going there anymore in certain areas. And it's truth. This is truth and it applies .
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You can look at it this way. Believing or being in faith is when your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions are in harmony. So, think about that in your life. When your thoughts, you know, we have taught in the past, you know, that faith is in your heart and in your mouth, it's not in your head. But it's, if your thoughts, you know, and having been, you know, having knowing that I've been in faith and received what I was believing for, I know I still had thoughts. But if you allow yourself, you know, if it's a constant, and if there's emotions that stir up with those contrary thoughts, that's an indication I have some more work to do. But it's your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. What are your feelings? Right now, you're feeling something. If you check yourself out, you're feeling something. You may be feeling something good. You may be feeling something negative. It may be very subtle. You may not even know what the feeling is. But we're all feelings. This is who God designed us. We are all, you know, we've taught against being led by feelings, but yeah, we're led by our feelings. We shouldn't be led by our emotions, but yeah, we are led by our feelings. We live by our feelings. But feelings are very subtle. But if that's where you look for the peace and the joy. That's what I'm talking about there. It's subtle. It may not be some, you know, jumping up and down kind of a thing, but it's there. Or that sadness, or that anger. You know, years ago, before I got set free from some stuff, there was a constant irritation inside of me. You know, it just, you know, I remember there was a country western song that came out about that time, and it was something along the line of, "Why are you angry all the time?" And that was me. Because I was angry with myself, because I did not perform up to my standards. But we all have that. It may be sadness. It may be a discouragement. You know, I've been through times where it was hopeless. I just, you know, I lived life, but inside of me there was just a hopelessness. But that's not God. God's peace and joy, and that's what Shel's talking about. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's what's available. But that's an indication of whether you're actually believing. Are your thoughts, are your feelings, and your emotions. You know, as I said, the testimonies I was just giving, there was no emotions involved. It was just peace. It was just, okay, you know. Because when you have information plus emotion, that's when it can affect your heart. That's when, you know, it's tied in there. You know, I was just reading an article about, they have scientifically proven, you may have read this before, there is such a thing as a broken heart syndrome. And when you have some of the stuff Shel was talking about, when you have a trauma or some very stressful event happen to you, you can go into heart attack symptoms. And all it is, it's a broken heart. That's, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. But when you have your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions, they're all lined up. In fact, they can line up for negative things. You know, yes, I'm convinced I am sick. Yes. My thoughts say I'm sick. I feel sick. You know, the emotions are, you know, everything is just, yeah. But we need to gather evidence and turn it around. I am healthy. I have a hope in a future, you know. God has the best out for ahead of me. You know, I am not, my life is not over. You know, I'm 63 and my life is just beginning. Of course, now I can count the years until it's likely to end, but that's okay. I still have, you know, 25, 30 years to accomplish some great things for God. So you younger people, you know, you know, get a hold of this earlier. Don't wait till you get older. Good life. Your life can be so much better. Praise God. I have one scripture here I want to finish up with. In John chapter 11, verse 40, Jesus is speaking here. I believe he's speaking to Martha. Pretty sure it's Martha. I don't think it's Mary, but I could be wrong. But anyhow, John chapter 11, verse 40. It says, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" If you would believe, you would see the glory of God. And this word glory, in this verse, glory is another one of those huge topics, you know. And there's all sorts of perspectives that you can come from. But in this verse, what it means is the majesty of God as exhibited in deeds of power. And that's what happened with the raising of Lazarus, right? The majesty of God exhibited in deeds of power. You know, another definition for glory is God's view. You ever think about that, is how God looks at the world, how God looks at you. What's God's perspective of you? You know, when he knows, you know, what Jesus paid the price for. So how does he see your life? Probably different than our present lives are. There's probably some things that he would have differently in manifestation. But you know what? It's there. It may be not visible, but it's there. It's maybe in the invisible realm, but it's there. That's what faith is about. That's what believing is about. That's what we're talking about this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah.